Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is one of my life chapters. And the Lord's just leading me to kind of start here for some reason. So we're going to do that. Amen. How's that sound? Does that sound good? Yeah. So that's good, Pastor. That's good. Okay. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. I'm starting in verse 5. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Say nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Say obedient. Until death. Even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, say Jesus, every knee, say my knee, should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, say my tongue, my tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your abundant life that dwells in your word. God, I thank you for every single word that is written in this book. God, I know that it has life to transform. God, I thank you that you say in Romans that our minds can be transformed by the power of your word. And God, that your word holds all things. It sustains all things. Today, God, I'm asking that you would sustain us with your word, that you would transform our minds and sustain that transformation by the power of your word. God, open our hearts, cultivate our hearts, and let it be ready to receive the power of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready? One in the Spirit. I'm a touch hot on this mic. I don't know if you guys can help me out a little bit. Ooh. One in the Spirit. Don't remember that little motion. One in the Spirit. One in the Spirit. Together, there's power, guys. There's power when we are one in the Spirit. Now, the Lord is leading me to this scripture. It wasn't in my notes or anything. When we were worshiping, God was leading me to Philippians 2. And he was speaking to me saying, Josh, listen. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. At some point, your knee is going to bow and your tongue will confess. We will be one. We will be one. Every single one of us, every person that's ever existed, that was ever created, at some point, we all encounter this same thing. Whether we do it now or we do it when we die, at some point, or it happens at the resurrection, who knows? At some point, we will all become one in this, that we will all bow our knees, and every one of our tongues will confess, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. Now look, it doesn't matter who you are or how great you ever become or how great anybody has ever been. When our knees are bowed and our tongue is confessing the Lord, we're one. We're all the same. Billy Graham, the Apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? It doesn't matter. When he kneels before the Lord and you're right there next to him, guess what? You're the same. When we're here worshiping God, we're the same. None of us are greater than the other. Not in God's eyes. Some of us will accomplish more. That's true. But that's not the same. God's love, when he looks at us, when we are clothed with the nature of Christ, he looks at us the same. When we stand before him, I don't have more access to God than you do. No one ever has. No one ever will. You're one. You're the same. There's no more power for me or for anyone else than there is for you. No one has a special little access point. No one has some special little treat or whatever. Look, We all stand before the God, before the Father in heaven, who and clothed with the same nature of Christ and have the same inheritance that was promised to Abraham, that was accomplished through the power of what Jesus did on the cross in our lives. Every time, every day, you want it, you got it. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now listen, some of us have a lot of problems with self-rejection. We have a lot of problems with thinking we're not good enough. With thinking that, nah, you know, I know that Reed, he's the man. He's just more holy than I am. He's more righteous than me. He can access God. He can hear the voice of God and preach it. And so, you know, I just, God doesn't love me the same. That is a lie. It is not true. And you know what? You're lying to yourself. That's not good. That's not good. Lying's a sin. You're sinning against yourself. That's not good. The enemy's having his heyday with you. And no longer, not after today. I don't want to see it anymore today. And I know you're still going to struggle with it, but today we're going to start walking in victory in this area of self-rejection. Because look, we're one. When we kneel before God, when we stand before Him, we are the same. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It doesn't matter what your skin looks like as it's wrapped around your skeletal structure. It don't matter. Doesn't matter how tall, how small, how beautiful you are. Some of y'all are beautiful. Dang. That Matt Stinson. You know? Not all of us can be as good looking as Matt. But that's okay. Because when we stand before God, we're the same. And God does not make junk. He does not make trash. He does not make mistakes. He willed you into existence. You're here, and you have to learn to stop hating yourself and telling God that you're not good enough to come into His presence, that you're not good enough to be clothed with His righteousness. You're not good enough to be clothed with His nature and be holy in His nature positionally. Yeah, you got to work out your personal holiness and work out the sin kinks that are in your life. That's true. But listen, you are worth it to God to come stand before Him. He paid the price for you. He created this world and He has all of this sin and all this junk has happened in this world. And He knew it would happen. He chose to make a free will and knew that people would sin against each other and sin against Him and die and go to hell. And all of this, He did it all in the foreknowledge, and He did it for you. It was all worth it to Him. Your ability to stand before God right now, to kneel and to confess Jesus as your Lord, is worth it to Him. He wants you, He desires for you to be one in the Spirit. To not only be able to have this access with the Lord in His Spirit, but to have access in the Spirit, as you become one with God, like we were talking about last week, as you begin to be intimate with the Father, you begin to become one with the Father. And you're one with the Father, you're one with His family, right? So we're talking about, we need to become a true family. Your church family, it needs to be real. It can't just be something you come to and pretend like you really love each other. And pretend like you really have whatever this elusive thing called community really is. No, you've got to really dig in and really be a part of it. And you've got to really learn how to become one in the Spirit. Last week, we were talking about how when we worship together, we go pray together, we go serve together, we go die together, right? We start to become one in the Spirit. But today, I want you to understand that when we draw together as a family, when you can get through your own rejection issues and you can allow yourself to walk into the presence of God with others, with your family, listen, there is power, serious power in the Spirit. Serious power for you as an individual, but as you access that power with your family, you listening? With your family, collectively, it's supernatural. You cannot measure it. It's unbelievable. We're going to look at some of these things in the scripture. The Lord led me to some passages, and I want you just to turn with me there. We're going to start in Joshua. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 6. Not just because my name is Joshua, but because it's a great spot to start. You guys with me? Why is my pulpit so far over here? You with me? So I'm with you. So I'm with you. Matt Stinson, you were the man. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out or came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kind, with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets and ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing their trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and have seven priests carry the trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord of the Covenant followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All of the time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once, and then the people turned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord. While the trumpets kept sounding, so on the second day, they marched around once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up. At daybreak, they marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people to shout, "For the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid our spies." Then kept, but "Keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make this camp of Israel liable to the destruction and bring trouble on it. All of the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted at the sound of the trumpet. When the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in to the city. The Lord, straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men, women, young, old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Listen, there is power when we are one in the Spirit. Walls come down. Cities, nations are subdued when we are one in the Spirit. Listen, the Israelites marched around the city in total discipline together. They didn't even talk. 6 days as they marched. Seven times around the last time. We're talking a lot of people marching around the city. All of them in perfect unity. Perfect obedience to the word that the Lord had given them specifically for that time. All right? You see the principles coming out here. We want to be one in the Spirit. We got to hear the voice of God. We got to listen. We got to obey. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, but we can't just do it alone. If just Joshua marched around the city and did everything God told him, except for he didn't take all the people with him and get them in unity, look, the walls wouldn't have come down. You want to see this city won for Christ? It's not going to happen you all alone with the vision that God's placed in your heart. It's not. Lone Rangers don't exist. Lone Rangers die. That's what really happens. I know Rambo goes and takes out entire armies, and Arnold Schwarzenegger can go and totally recall everything. But listen, you can't do it. You can't do it alone. Nothing great will ever be accomplished by one person alone. It'll always be in families. It'll always be in teams. Do not forsake the gathering of the brother together, the gathering of the church. Don't leave this thing on the side. Yes, it can't be weak and wimpy and powerless and dumb and worthless. It's got to make sense. There has to be a vision that's worth trading your life for. Seeing the city subdued for Jesus, the armies of God arising, the children of God arising and taking up the city. Now, I'll tell you what, that is worth it to me. To see this city subdued, to see this city before they die, that their knees would bow and their tongues would confess that Jesus is Lord. That's worth it. That's worth being a part of the family. That's worth being one in the Spirit for. Are you willing to trade your life for the Lord? Are you willing to trade your life for the King of Kings, for His will, for His army? Come on. Nations will be subdued. There's power when we're one in the Spirit. Amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It says, when Solomon builds the temple and he is bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. This is an awesome story. It's actually more than a story. It's an awesome event. Verse 11. So they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant in. He's doing it all the way the Lord tells him to do it. And the priests then withdrew from the holy place. And all the priests that were there had consecrated themselves. All the priests. Underline all. All of the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. Say divisions. All the Levites who were musicians. Asaph, Heman, Deduthun. That dude's a rad. And their sons and relatives who have even weirder names. Stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice. Say one voice. Underline that. As with one voice. In unison, together as with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord God and sang, He is good, His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. That's so sweet. Would that have happened if the Levites and the Hermonites or whoever Heman and Judah Duty guy was, if he would have just playing his own song, singing his own song? You think that the glory of God would have came and filled the temple? No. He might have burned them up. Be a whole different story. And that dude was vaporized. I mean, then, messing around with the ark, when David brought the ark into the city, he did it wrong. He did not do it the way that the Lord told him to. And some dude stumbles into the thing and tries to catch it. Look, And God just kills him right there. Boom. No, no. Look, these guys weren't ignorant to how they were supposed to do this stuff. In the Hebraic tradition, man, everybody knows. It's not like the way we raise our kids where you're like, dude, I don't really know what church is about, this Bible thing. No, dude. By the time they're little kids, they got the whole thing memorized. I mean, these guys know what's going on. This guy knew he wasn't supposed to touch the thing. All right? You think if they weren't in there in unity bringing the ark into the temple, that the glory of God would have just showed up anyway? Look, family, listen. Mishpoka. It's a Hebrew word for family. Listen, mishpoka. You and I, we must worship God with an acceptable sacrifice. The Bible says to worship Him in spirit and in truth. With pure motives. I know you've got sin in your life. I know you're hurting. Me too. Listen, we've got to take that in pure motives together, one in the spirit, according to God's word. He wants it pure and true. That's how He asks for it. You don't have to have all the details worked out anymore. He wants your heart. He wants it pure and He wants it true. He doesn't want you coming to church just for some sort of identity, badge so that you feel important. He doesn't want you in any kind of leadership so that you feel like you're somebody. Look, you need a family. You need to be in church, but it's not just so you feel good. Look, we need to see the presence of God fill this temple. Fill this temple. This temple. This one. This one. All of our temples. You are the temple. When we come and we gather together, come on, man. We got to worship Him in spirit and in truth as one voice lifted up together, one in the spirit. Because there's power. We don't even know what He's going to do. You don't know and I don't know. We'll never know if we don't ever do it. That's for sure. That's one thing I do know, is that if we don't become one in the Spirit, if you don't unite your heart with mine towards the Lord, if we don't do that together, I promise you, the Spirit of God will not come down and fill this temple. We will not see the glory of God pour out over this city in our lives and our families. Come on, what about your families? What about your friends? Do you want the power of God to fall into your lives and do whatever it's going to do? You're like, dude, we can't even perform our normal stuff. Who cares? It's good. Like last week, dude, the Spirit of God was coming in so good. I'm like, I don't even care what happens, man. Go home whenever you want. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is that we're one in the Spirit, that we experience the power of the Most High God. Yeah, there's power when we're one in the Spirit. Power. Say power. Power. Power, power, wonder-working power. There in the blood of the Lamb. Acts 2. Come on, power. Acts 2. Serious power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Utterly amazed. Verse 7, but we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to start in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly, say constantly, in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. Chapter 2. Listen, they're constantly together. Now, I want to just give you a little bit of background here. Look, there was like usually about 2.5 million Jews, that came to Jerusalem to worship. All right? around the day of Passover to Pentecost. There is a stinking ton of people in the city right now. And it's for a specific reason. Now look, they're waiting for the day of Pentecost, which they have been celebrating for like 1500 years. This is not some special Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit coming. No, it's a celebration of when the law came down from Mount Sinai. Okay? Moses delivers the law. Pentecost is celebrating that. So they're waiting for 50 days after the Passover, right? They're just waiting. And the Lord said, wait until the Comforter comes. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Well, they were together on the day of Pentecost to celebrate Pentecost like they've been doing their whole lives. And guess what? The Holy Spirit shows up on that day. Boom. The giving of the law, the same day as the giving of the Spirit. So sick. It's so sick. Say, that's sick, Pastor. Yeah, that's sick. Here comes the Holy Spirit to take God's law, not just from on the tablets of stone, but to put it in the heart of you, on the flesh. Come on. He's going to take it right here on the day of Pentecost as they're celebrating, waiting for it. Boom, it's right in your heart. Sick. Get your hankies out. Okay, now check it out. So they're waiting for this thing. They don't even know it. They're just together constantly because they know. Jesus said, we're supposed to get together. We're supposed to worship. We're supposed to just wait. Well, it's Pentecost. Let's just keep praying. And let's do our thing that we always do on Pentecost. And what in the? Woo! Fire! Yeah! Yeah! All of a sudden, something begins to shake. When the day of Pentecost came, like it always came, right? They were all together because they're always together on the day of Pentecost. In one place, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Say all. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. One in the Spirit. Verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, because they always came at this time of the year. All of them. There's 2.5 million of them there. Okay? And they're there and they're doing their thing. And all of a sudden, when they heard, verse 6, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Because each one heard them speaking in his own language, utterly amazed. They asked, are these not all men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears him in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia, Phrygia, yes, praise God, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, them dirty Cretans, and Arabs, we're here. That might even be offensive to say it that way, won't it? Please forgive me, anybody who hears that. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Dang. You know what happens next? Peter stands up, the most cowardice of all of them, filled now with the Holy Spirit, in boldness stands up before thousands of men. I mean, when they say a crowd formed, we're talking thousands of people. Because you know what happens after he preaches? And it says he keeps on declaring the word of God. On and on. Who knows how long he kept declaring it? It wasn't just one time. It gives on that he kept preaching and declaring the word of God. And it said 3,000 were added to their number that day. Say power. Power. Look. We come together. We become one in the Spirit. We learn to become a family, to serve, to die, to breathe, to live, to support, to be transparent, to open our hearts and our lives open to one another. We protect. We walk in confidentiality, respect, honor. Look, we learn to do these things. We learn to seriously really be a family, to really come together and to pray and to wait upon the Holy Spirit. We're committed that every single one of us is baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, full of every gift that God has given us. And we're active and we're serious about using that gift and growing it and allowing our character to be formed so we have a real platform to minister from our gift. Come on, we all do that together. We all get equipped to evangelize. We all get serious about sharing our faith. We all get serious about honoring our parents. Man, obeying our parents. Dang, if this whole group would just respect and obey their parents, do you know what kind of power would pour out in our community? The city would begin to shake. The city would begin to shake. Come on. A rushing wind. A rushing wind. Just come into this city. Come into your schools. Come into your bedroom. Come into your brothers and your sister's bedroom, man. You come home and they just feel the wind of God on them. Power! Because you've been with your family. You've been with your father, with your family. You're becoming one. Say one. One in the Spirit. One in the stinking Spirit of God. Come on. Acts chapter 12. This one is so sweet. Say it's sweet. Sweet. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Is about the tickety time, that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church and intended on persecuting them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword when he saw that this pleased the Jews. He proceeded to seize Peter also. All the Peters in the house say, uh-oh. Nobody named Peter here today. I took a risk. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him into prison, handing him over to the guards to be guarded by four squads of soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter, when kept in prison, Peter was kept in prison, but the church, say the church, say family, say mishpoka, was earnestly praying to God for him. Guess what happens? Big surprise. In the night before Herod was about to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. The sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter upside the head. No, on the side, and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. As Peter was running out naked, he said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. I'm just kidding. Okay, then the angel said to him, put on your clothes, you can't go out naked, and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak. Why was he naked? Okay. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. The angel told him, I bet he had an ephod on though. He probably had an ephod on. Verse 8, then the angel said to him, put on your clothes. Okay, well, I'll get past that one. The angel told him, Peter, follow. And Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading out to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of the street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, I know, without a doubt, that the Lord has sent this angel to rescue me from Herod's clutches. And he said it in a southern accent. And from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. Verse 12, when this dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people were gathered and were praying. Say praying. Peter knocked on the door at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening the door and exclaimed, Peter's at the door! You're out of your mind! I think that demon entered your brain again. In the name of Jesus. They told her, when she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand. And for them to be quiet. That's how they did it. And described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the brothers about this. He said, and then he left for another place. Tell the brothers about this. Come on. The church was together. Guess what? When their leader was in trouble, where was the church? They were together and they were praying. They were praying and they were believing God to save Peter, to save their leader. And when he's rescued, they can't even believe it. They didn't even feel nothing, obviously. They didn't go, oh, it happened. You know, they're like, oh, I have confirmation. It's been given to me. They just keep praying. And they're like, dude, he can't be there. Right? Because Peter was a musician. He had rhythm. To the brothers. You know, I mean, he knew who the brothers were, so he's like, yo, tell the brothers, I'll be back. Right? This will be back. Come on, they're one in the spirit. Peter's sleeping. He's beaten and tired. He doesn't have time to pray, but the church, his family's together. And they're praying for him. No matter what the obstacles, no matter what the odds, your natural mind does not have to be able to understand it. Come on. Faith. When we stand in faith together, when we ask for something when two or more are gathered together, right? Matthew chapter 5, right? Two or more are gathered together in my name. Whatever they ask for, it will be done for them in heaven. Listen. Listen. Together, ask anything, anything. There's no limits to anything. There is no limits to the power of our God. There is nothing He is not over, that He is not in, that He is not through. Anything. Together. Anything. Man. That's power. That's some serious power. Peter just wakes. An angel kicks him awake. Get up. Let's go. Running out. He's like, get your clothes. I'll get them. Okay. Doors are opening. People are just standing there. Ooh, they must have been paralyzed in the spirit. He froze time. I don't know. Who knows? I was paralyzed in the Holy Ghost. Do that to me, Lord. Yes, it's so awesome. Power. All together, man. All together. Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united, say united with Christ. If any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Man, that's some challenging living right there. Mishpoka. Family. It actually means something. It actually means something. It means to be a part of a family means a real contribution. It means really being one. It means really preferring someone else more than yourself. It means, well, I don't really like the structures that they put together at church. And, oh gosh, if I did it, I would just do it so different. I don't really know what I do, but I tell you what, it'd be different. Who cares about this stuff? Yeah, you need some structure, just enough structure to support creative life. Yeah, or none of it can even come together. We got to have structure like this, a structure that says, look, you've got to be like-minded. You've got to have the same love. You've got to prefer others greater than yourself. if your pastor falls when he's preaching, you've got to love him and not laugh. I almost tripped on that. You might not have seen it, but look. When we become one, when we really become one, it means that we really get united in spirit. It means that we are really willing to unite ourselves in our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, our actions together to prefer others greater than ourselves. When we show up to church, we're not just here to get ours. Well, I'm going to come and I'm going to get I'm hungry, so I want to get fed. I want to have some good worship. I better be good. But they better sing that Jesus is alive song. Or, I'm going to come back next week. None that's not seen me for 3 weeks, they're lost. They're so lucky to have me sitting in this pew. They're so lucky to have me on the glorious worship team. Come on. I can't believe they got so lucky to have me. Come on. Boy, you must be out your head. Look. Being a part of a family is about sacrifice. It's not about give me my allowance, feed me, make my bed, Mom, and make me my sack lunch, cut my peanut butter and jelly sandwich in half. If it's not perfectly in half, I'm going to get mad with you. Seriously, I'm serious about this now. In half. Yeah, that's family. That's honor. Mom, get in the back. I mean, I'm sitting in the front. Don't want you getting hurt by the airbag. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. That's the love of Christ. That's the being clothed with the nature, the fruit of the spirit of love. Being one in spirit and purpose. What you do, who you are, how you think, how you love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing to gain for yourself. Right? Nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others greater than yourselves. Don't look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Don't be just trying to get your own and get fed. Come here expecting to give. Come to your family expecting to give. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who gave it all for you. Being God, came, gave it all for you. While you were a sinner, while you were broken, while you were separated and hated God, he died for you. He came to you. While your family, you go home to your family nucleus, your mom, dad, right? I don't care if you're in college, all this kind of stuff. Look, you are going to go home to your parents. And they are your family, the family you will never be separated from. You'll always have their name. You can change your name, but guess what? You're still going to have their name. Their blood is in you. That's the family that Jesus is talking about when he says, honor your father and your mother, and it will go well with you in the land. Now listen to me good. Listen good. That's where you start. You need to learn to infiltrate your family with this kind of love, with preferring them greater than yourself. Preferring them, your brothers and your sisters. Come on, leading your brothers and sisters into the presence of God. Leading them in worship, taking them with your Bible and reading and studying it with them. Loving them, not kicking them aside, saying, that's my bed. I'm washing my clothes first. You're riding in the back. Slamming the door on them. No, I got my friends over. You can't hang out with us. Man, I'll tell you what, there's nothing that gets me more fired up when kids, especially my kids, try to play the, well, you're not my friend, you know, this is my little brother, and you're not included game. I get seriously fired up when I see that business going on. I mean, is that preferring your little brother, your little sister over yourself? Come on, when your mom wants to talk to you and you to open your heart to her, guys, come on. Are you just closed off? No. No, dude, mom, you're not cool enough for me. What? Your mom and dad don't got to be cool. Your family doesn't have to be cool. You need to learn to be one. They don't even have to be Christians. They don't have to understand what I'm talking about right now. They can be total hypocrites. They can be total, I go to church and pretend like I'm a Christian, but I come home and I cuss you out, Christians. Some of you live with them. They can be, I abandon you, Christians. Okay? I hurt you, I abuse you, I whatever, Christians. If you call those Christians, I don't, just so you know. Look, wherever they're at, it's not saying if people are nice to you, if your family's perfect, if your mom and dad are perfect, whoa, if your brothers and sisters are perfect. It's not saying that. It says, love as I loved. Be as I was. Be as I am. I clothed you with my nature. I gave it to you. You can come and be one with me. That's what the Father says. 1 Corinthians, right? You can be one with me. And you can take that oneness and be one with everyone else. With all my children. You can do it here. You can go to your families at home. And you can bring that same kind of oneness. You start with people you have influence with your younger brothers and sisters. You begin to love them with Christ's love. Begin to show them what real love is. Preferring them before yourself. You begin to honor your father and mother. Even if they make stupid decisions, you still honor them and you love them. They make great decisions. You honor them. You love them. You submit to them. You open your heart to them. Come on, it's family. That's real family. It's hard to do. You might be embarrassed to share your sin with your dad or your mom and say, hey, look, I'm struggling with this. Will you pray for me? They need to know you. They might not be equipped to know you, but you need to lead them in it. You need to open your heart to them and allow them in. And you know, if they wound you and hurt you, you got to forgive them. You got to move on. You got to be one. Because look, when our families and you begin to lead your own families, you begin to have kids, you get married and all this kind of stuff. You got to learn to lead your family in worship and oneness. You don't start now. It's not just going to magically happen. Come on. We can be one. And when we become one, all things are possible. When Jesus said, you can do all things through me, right? Who gives you strength? You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I guess Jesus didn't say that. The Holy Spirit said that through Paul, whatever. Details, details. Come on. This is what it's talking about. Not just you. No. Y'all. Y'all can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. All of us together, knitted in love, with our hearts knit together, in one purpose, one mind. Come on. There's power. I want to read to you a couple scriptures. Then we're going to close. Go Romans chapter 12. We'll close in this scripture. How many of you guys love the Word? Word is good.
I do. Verse 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let's just go verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Okay, man, come on, this is heavy. It must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Our world tells us, nah, don't hate what's evil. It's fine. No, but we got to be one in mind. We got to believe this, guys. We got to be one in spirit in this. We got to believe that our love must be sincere towards one another, that we actually have to hate what is evil. I just had a letter come to me by one of the young ladies here in the place about abortion, and she's like hardcore about activists about picketing abortion. Hating what's evil. You know, sometimes we want to be PC as Christians, and look, you're not going to be. You're not going to be PC as a Christian, politically correct, if you don't know that. Sorry. You're not. You're going to hate what's evil. We are going to hate what is evil together as a family, allowing all this junk in our homes, in our lives, in our families. No, no more. Our love must be sincere, must hate what is evil and cling to what is good. This is what is good. Our family is what is good. Worship is what is good. Prayer is what is good. Serving is what is good. Loving is what is good. Humility is what is good. Come on. Love what's good. Hate what is evil. Be devoted to one another. What does that mean? That means sacrifice, duty, honor, courage. To be devoted, that means hard times come, we're together. We're one in the Spirit. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Come on, you can't be a part of a family and not have enthusiasm. You can't. It's not allowed. I'm reading in the scripture. Sorry. You got to get excited. And you don't have to be a freak. You don't have to be a goober for Jesus. But you got to have zeal. You got to have passion to be a part of a family. Never be lacking in zeal. Never. That's all the time, guys. But keep your spiritual fervor. Come on, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Look, people persecute you. Your friend makes $1 million. He's getting blessed on the job. You get fired. Are you jealous? Or you rejoice with him? So blessed that God's blessing your finances. Yeah. More, Lord. Give him more. I'm so blessed you just had a baby. I want you to have another one to be blessed again. Praise God. I'm not jealous. You know what? You're hurting. Your mom died. Look, I'm not going to be all like, well, Jesus is good. Woohoo! No, man, I'm going to be sad with you. Well, bless God. Well, he's so good. And just be all excited and like, yay, no, that's being a goober for Jesus. Someone's struggling and hurting, you got to be real with them. Let your love be sincere. You got to learn to be one in the Spirit with them and meet them where they're at. They're hurting. You come to the same place. You feel the same pain and you help them through it. That's real family. That's real love. That's being sincere. That's being devoted to one another. That's rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. You know, when two people sing and it's out of whack, you're just like, oh! You're like, Lord Jesus, take me home. Right? But when two people sing and they sing in perfect harmony, two parts, four-part harmony, six-part harmony, you ever hear them like that? You're like, the glory of God has come. It's unbelievable. harmony. That's how our lives are. We don't sing exactly the same part. We look a little different. But when we're in unity, one together, it's like power. It's happening. It's shaking it, man. You're like, the glory has come. It's good. You can feel it. There's diversity, but it's good. It's together. I'm almost done. I promise. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. This is what it means to be a part of this family. You want to live here? You want to come to church here? You want to be a part of this family? You have to be willing to consider people of low position. People who are hurting, struggling, broken, messed up, don't look the same. Okay? That's family. That's what Jesus did. Always hanging out with the sinners, tax collectors, broken, handicapped. He was with them all. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You got an evil, lustful, mean, hideous, jealous, wicked thought or deed. You want to overcome it? You overcome it by the opposite action. You got a hateful thought for somebody. You want what they want. You're coveting what they want. Family doesn't just do that. You sin that way, you replace it with something good. I sin against my brother Reed and I get jealous of his gift because he's retardedly awesome. Then I go to him and I bless him. Right? I'm jealous of you. I come and I just go, dude, I love what God's doing in your life. I'm so blessed. You start rejoicing with those who rejoice. You stole something from Josh here, you give it back to him. Can hit me later. And then you replace it seven times fold. Thieves, you struggle with stealing, start being a giver. Come on, family. You drinking hater juice and you always mean to everybody? Right? You got to come out and you got to start saying acts of love to other people. You're like, oh, I hate this guy, but how are you? God bless you today. Sweet Jesus, that was hard. Okay, look, you got to start replacing evil with good when you're a part of a family. You've been isolated. Isolation's not what God has for you, even if you're an introvert. Okay? You gotta get out. Get next to somebody and say, hi. Take your brown bag. Breathe in that sucker. Come on. You're okay. You start replacing those things that you want to change. You gotta start doing the opposite. You gotta start contributing in your family. When we become one in the Spirit, there is power. We start doing these things. We start becoming one-minded. We start coming one love, one in the Spirit, and one in purpose together. We start acting this way. Romans 12, you need to write this passage down. You need to have it. You need to be reading it as our family. I'm commissioning you as a part of our family to study this portion of Scripture every day this week. Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm asking you to do it. I'm telling you to do it. Get your Bible out every day this week and meditate in this Scripture. And you ask God, God, do this in my life. No longer will I be a non-contributing, out of one in the Spirit, disjointed member of the body of Christ. No, I'm going to be a part of the family. And God, I'm asking you to integrate this into every fiber of my being. Amen? This week, not next week. This week. Because I love you, and I want you to be a part of this family. I want to be a part of this family. I want to be a part of something great. I want to do something that leaves a mark. When I look back on my life, I want to know I traded it for something that was worth it. That my family It was real. And we saw the power of God move in our city. And we look back at this day and we say, God, yeah, I remember that day when we made a commitment to one another to be a part of a family. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. That doesn't matter. That's not in here. It doesn't say, well, if you're 40, then spend time with 40-year-olds. Well, if you're 20, then be with 20s. No, that's junk. That's the world's way. Look, we're a family. No matter what color, race, height, length, width, age, smell, it don't matter. You are a part of this family if you choose to be, if you choose to live in a sincere love, a sincere way, according to the scripture, come on. And you commit yourself, you open yourself, it's going to happen. Will you stand with me and let's pray? Jordan, will you come? Sweet. Don't even have to ask. He is the man. God is good. Now listen, we're just going to worship. We're going to have our leaders here. We're going to be down in the front. I'm going to be ready just to pray with you, and our leaders will be ready to pray with you. You want to repent. You want to get right. You just want to worship. You do it. We're going to do it together. Amen. There's power in the Spirit. I don't know if we're going to close like at some official time. So if you feel led to leave after we're done just ministering, you can go. You're totally released. We love you. We might just have like a great closing time or whatever. But we just want to get with our Father. We want to become one with our Father now. Amen. And I love you. And if I don't get a chance to say anything after this, I want to just bless you. In the name of Jesus, listen, you can be a part of a family. You don't have to go out these doors and turn around and be alone anymore. You don't have to. Just because you've been in sin and your life's been broken doesn't mean that you have to stay outside the family. The family loves no matter what. No matter what, just accepts, just loves. Turn your heart back. Come on, come back. Love. We love you. So if you speak out, I still love you. It's not, I just love you. But look, it's time for us to become really real with one another. And to get our hearts straight and right with the Lord. And come to a place where we're ready to commit to one another. We're ready to do something that's going to really count. Amen. So let me pray for you, and then we're just going to worship. And if you want to worship down here in the front, come. If you want to receive prayer, we'll have leaders down here ready to pray with you. Does that sound good? So, Father, I thank you for these powerful, powerful men and women that are here today. I thank you for the power that's inside of their gift as we come together. I thank you for the power that's inside of being one in the Spirit. God, I ask for a blessing over each and every one. God, I ask that you would knit our hearts together in love, God, in sincere love, devoted love to one another, God, in humility, in selflessness, God. Teach us the power of selflessness, God. God, I speak the selfless spirit, a spirit of humility and selflessness over this family in Jesus' name. God, that you would truly have your way. God, that you would just reveal new truth to your kids, God. That all of us would have deeper encounters with you together. God, bless your people. God, come in power. God, as we saw you come in power in the scripture, God, we want to become one like that. We want to come into unity like that. God, I pray for the spirit of unity to be upon us, God, that would attract your Holy Spirit, God, and move among us in power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you today. Let's worship Him together. Let's become one in the Spirit.